Hi, Dave Emery here. This is Side 1, for the record, program number 773. The Boston Marathon bombing, the third position, and the leaderless resistance strategy. This is being recorded on February 7th of the year 2014. This program is being recorded on Friday, February 7th. Today was the official kickoff, so to speak, of the Sochi Winter Olympics in Russia. That has taken place, the kickoff, that is, against the background of some tense relations between Russia and the U.S., in part because of the Snowden operation, and I believe that Eddie the Friendly Spook, as I call him, is involved in, he certainly is the point element in an intelligence operation that in part is designed to do exactly what it is in part doing, which is to create tension between the U.S. and Russia, thereby putting a bullet in the back of the head of whatever is left of Barack Obama's attempts at rebooting relations with Russia. This also takes place against the background of some very tense maneuvering in the former Soviet Republic of the Ukraine. We're going to go into that in future broadcasts. The point elements, some of the most hardline elements in the Ukraine, are directly evolved from the OUNB, the Bandera Organization, a Ukrainian fascist organization that we have looked at for decades, and perhaps most recently in For the Record program number 749, in which we visited with John Loftus. Most importantly for our purposes here, the kickoff of the Sochi Olympics takes place against the background of some overt threats against the Olympics made by Islamic terrorists from Chechnya and elsewhere in the Caucasus. We have spoken about the Chechens in For the Record program number 710, among others. We are going to touch briefly on a major story that occupied most of the first half of For the Record program 710, done in the late spring of 2010. We took a look at the fact that an element of U.S. intelligence, perhaps almost certainly allied with the Saudis, and perhaps actually operating as sort of an off-the-shelf outside of the baselines operation along the lines of the Safari Club that we looked at in For the Record 522. An element of U.S. intelligence is involved with the Saudis, or perhaps ex-U.S. intelligence, so this gets murky, is involved with the Saudis in helping to promote some of the terrorism in the Caucasus, including Chechnya. My belief is the goal, ultimately, is to foment the secession of that oil-rich part of Russia. I think we can call this petro-politics under the circumstances. We have spoken in past broadcasts of the fact that even as there was a very real war going on between elements of the U.S. military and intelligence services with some elements of the Islamic terrorist milieu, other elements chiefly deriving from the Muslim Brotherhood, other elements of the Islamic terror milieu are in fact working with other elements of our corporate and intelligence structure, and beyond that, Saudi Arabia and what I call the underground Reich. Again, For the Record 710 contains a good discussion of that. The element of Chechen / Islamist terrorists came back to bite the United States in the rear end in a very big way on April 15th of 2013 in the state of Massachusetts. That is a state holiday called Patriots Day. It also, of course, is the deadline for the for U.S. income tax returns. As such, some elements of domestic right-wing terror have seized upon April 15th, 415, as a day when the leaderless resistance strategy can be put into work. Leaderless resistance is a type of terror activity, an ideologized terror activity in which the terror elements are not formally directed by a hierarchical superstructure, a command structure, but rather are ideologized through the public dissemination of information and act either as lone wolves or as part of a very small cell. In the ongoing series, and we'll be producing another one of those programs very shortly, in the series of programs about the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, we have spoken about Glenn Greenwald, who in a previous professional incarnation as an attorney specifically was running legal interference for the leaderless resistance strategy, defending Nazi terror groups and Nazi murderers against civil legislation that would have held them to account for espousing the kinds of things that they do. I would note that the National Alliance, publisher of the Turner Diaries and Hunter and Serpent's Walk, about which we have had so much to say recently, the National Alliance was among Glenn Greenwald's pro bono Nazi clients, and their teaching materials, their novels, are specifically intended as teaching materials, as manifestos for the leaderless resistance strategy. It's one of the reasons why I view Greenwald's activities as so very, very evil indeed, because as a result of his activities, the organizations which are specifically espousing murder and mayhem cannot be held, or certainly have not been held, to civic responsibility, not criminal, but civic responsibility for their advocacy positions on same. On April 15th of 2013, two bombs went off at the near the finish line of the Boston Marathon, and two brothers of Chechen descent, the Tsarnaev brothers, that's capital T, S as in Sam, A, R as in Roger, N as in Nancy, A, E, V, that's Jokar, D, Z, O, K as in kangaroo, H, A, R, and Tamerlane Tsarnaev, T, A, M, E, R, L, A, N, are the accused bombers. Tamerlane was killed in a shootout with police, and Jokar is awaiting trial as we speak. And as we take a look at the elements in the background of and contained in the ideology of the Jokar, the Tsarnaev brothers, rather, we're going to be finding some very interesting things indeed. And indeed, we are going to look at some evidentiary tributaries running back in the direction of individuals and institutions that we looked at in connection with the sadly sidelined investigation into September 11th, specifically elements and individuals that are implicated in the Operation Green Quest raids, which took place on March 20th of 2002. They targeted individuals and institutions that had been involved in financing Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, all of them offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the elements involved eventually tracked back to elements of the Bush administration, people like Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, and others, and nothing, sadly, has been done. We're going to begin by taking a look at the background of Uncle Ruslan. That's R-U-S-L-A-N. That's Ruslan Tsarni, T-S-A-R-N-I. And we're going to begin with two articles from Daniel Hopsicker's Mad Cow Morning News. Daniel Hopsicker is a heroic investigative journalist whose books and articles we have accessed for many years. And his madcowprod.com is P-R-O-D, what I call the herd shot around the world is available. Again, MAVCOWPROD.com. The Mad Cow Morning News of April 22nd of 2013 has the following article by Daniel Hopsicker titled, Was Boston Bomber's Uncle Ruslan with the CIA? And it talks about the fact that Uncle Ruslan worked as a consultant for the Agency for International Development and did so in connection with a company called China Energy Ventures Corporation, later Big Sky, which is a now bankrupt subsidiary of Halliburton, the giant energy company that was headed by former Vice President Dick Cheney. The Agency for International Development is very frequently a cover for U.S. intelligence activities. Again, Was Boston Bomber's Uncle Ruslan with the CIA? By Daniel Hopsicker, Mad Cow Morning News of April 22nd of 2013. It reads in part, The uncle of the two men who set off bombs at the Boston Marathon, who struck the only grace note in an otherwise horrific week, worked as a, quote, consultant, unquote, for the Agency for International Development, or USAID, a U.S. government agency often used for cover by agents of the CIA. He did so in the former Soviet Republic of Kazakhstan during the Wild West days of the early 1990s, when anything that wasn't nailed down in that country was up for grabs. Then about Big Sky, for which he worked, and its heritage. Big Sky, which used to be known as China Energy Ventures Corporation, is a now bankrupt U.S. oil company run by S.A. Al, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce this fellow's last name. It's spelled capital S as in Sam, E-H, S as in Sam, U, V as in Victor, A-R-O-G-L-U's. Sesha Varoglu, I would say, a longtime executive of Halliburton Oil, which had oil leases in Kazakhstan's Caspian Basin. Uncle Ruslan Cerny was Big Sky's corporate secretary and vice president for business development. He joined Big Sky in 2005. Again, he was the uncle for the Charnia brothers and was sort of a press secretary for this particular event. And it turns out that Uncle Ruslan was married to the daughter of a top CIA official about whom we will have more to say later, a fellow named Graham Fuller, a very important and influential individual, quote, ex-unquote CIA at the present time, might actually be working for the Saudis or perhaps for some sort of safari club-like international off-the-shelf intelligence consortium. But in any event, his daughter was married to Uncle Ruslan, and Uncle Ruslan set up a company called Chechen International, which appears to have been, very possibly anyway, some sort of intelligence front, very possibly linked to the Chechen separatist movement and the Islamic terrorists who have worked for it. Another article again by Daniel Hopsicker from the Mad Cow Morning News of 4 days later, April 26th of the year 2013. Boston Bomber's uncle married daughter of top CIA official. It reads in part as follows. The uncle of the two suspected Boston bombers in last week's attack, Ruslan Tsarni, capital T, S as in Sam, A-R-N-I, was married to the daughter of former top CIA official Graham Fuller. That's G-R-A-H-A-M-F-U-L-L-E-R. Continuing. The discovery that Uncle Ruslan Tsarni had spy connections that go far deeper than had been previously known is ironic, especially since the mainstream media's focus yesterday was on a feverish search to find who might have recruited the Tsarnaev brothers. Skipping down. Ruslan Tsarni married the daughter of former top CIA official Graham Fuller, who spent 20 years as an operations officer in Turkey, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Afghanistan, and Hong Kong. In 1982, he, Fuller, was appointed the National Intelligence Officer for Near East and South Asia at the CIA, and in 1986, under Ronald Reagan, he became the Vice Chairman of the National Intelligence Council, with overall responsibility for national-level strategic forecasting. At the time of their marriage, Ruslan Tsarnaev was known as Ruslan Tsarnaev, the same last name as his nephews Tamerlane and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, the alleged bombers, and skipping down. On a more ominous note, Graham Fuller was listed as one of the American deep state rogues on Sibel Edmonds' Secrets Privilege Gallery. Edmonds explained it featured subjects of FBI investigations that she became aware of during her time as an FBI translator. Criminal activities were being protected by claims of state secrets, she asserts, after Attorney General John Ashcroft went all the way to the Supreme Court to muzzle her under a little-used doctrine of state secrets. She put up 21 photos with no names. One of them was Graham Fuller, skipping down. In 1995, Tsarnaev incorporated the Congress of Chechen International Organizations in Maryland, using as the address listed on incorporation documents 11114 Whisperwood Lane in Rockville, Maryland, the home address of his then father-in-law, Graham Fuller. It is just 8 miles up the Washington National Pike from the Montgomery Village, where Uncle Ruslan, unquote, met and apparently wowed the press after the attack in Boston. And I would note, Graham Fuller was the fellow, he's a very important individual, and I believe was actually a CIA station chief in Kabul in Afghanistan at one point. He also was the fellow who authored a paper that is viewed by many as having given rise to the Iran-Contra scandal. From the New York Times of February 15th of 2013, Washington Talk, briefing CIA secrets. It reads in part, Mr. Fuller's name came to public attention last year when it was disclosed that he was the author of a think piece circulated in the intelligence community in May of 1985, suggesting the possibility of pursuing openings in Iran. The study was instrumental in persuading some top-ranking Reagan administration policymakers to begin considering covert contacts with Iranian leaders. It eventually led to the covert sale of United States weapons to Tehran in what became the Iran-Contra affair. By the way, I may have the year wrong on that, but it is the New York Times Washington Talk briefing, CIA secrets. I will double-check the date. I would also note that Graham Fuller was quoted in a Washington Post story that we looked at in For the Record program number 513 as advocating an alliance between the U.S. and the Muslim Brotherhood. I will have that in the description to this program due to the limitations of time. I'm not going to read it here, but again, it is in For the Record program number 513. It is a Washington Post story, and indeed, Graham Fuller has been on record in a number of different contexts as advocating alliance, not only with the Muslim Brotherhood, but with Islamist fundamentalists in general, whom he views as a good sort of business milieu with which to be allied. I would note that the World Bank has the same view. Interestingly enough, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev had as a tutor at the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth a former CIA officer named Brian Glynn Williams. That meant B-R-I-A-N, middle name, capital G as in George, L-Y-N, and Williams, capital W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S. And he has a background in the CIA dealing with jihadists and Chechnya and suicide bombers. He also spent some time in Afghanistan. One wonders if he was merely a tutor or whether Brian Glenn Williams may have been involved in recruiting the Charnay brothers as jihadists for some sort of intelligence operation, either an element of CIA, Saudi intelligence, an off-the-shelf operation like the Safari Club, maybe a combination thereof. And one wonders if perhaps the Charnay brothers then blew back on, doubled back on the United States. In any event, it is interesting and very possibly significant that Dzhokhar Charnay's tutor at the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth had a background in the CIA/jihadist milieu. An article that appeared at NSFWCorp.com on May 8th of 2013. That's Nancy Sigma, F as in Frank, W as in Washington, C, O, R, P as in Corp. I hope I didn't contribute to it. This article is by Mark Ames, again on the NSFWCorp.com website of May 8th of 2013. And it reads in part, "For now, I want to start with one of the biggest, what the F blank 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 in the bombing story, a detail so far completely overlooked. Dzhokhar Charnayev's high school project mentor, unquote, Brian Glenn Williams. Brian Glenn Williams happens to work for the CIA on Islamic suicide bombers, Chechnya, and jihadist terrorism. Williams is also an associate professor of history at the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth, the university where 19-year-old Dzhokhar Charnayev was enrolled and where he spent many of his last free hours between the Boston Marathon bombing on April 15th and his arrest on April 19th. And more about the relationship between Brian Glenn Williams is in a USA Today story of April 19th of 2013. As Manhunt Ends, New Questions Emerge in Boston Bombings by Kevin Johnson and Donna Leinwand Leger, and Gary Strauss, reads in part, the New Bedford Standard Times reported that Dr. Brian Glenn Williams, who teaches Chechen history at the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth, said he had tutored Dzhokhar in the subject when he was in school. He was learning his Chechen identity, identifying with the diaspora, and identifying with his homeland, Williams said, adding that Dzhokhar, quote, wanted to learn more about Chechnya, who the fighters were, who the commanders were, unquote. And I would note yet more about Brian Glenn Williams. This from the Huffington Post of April 25th of 2013. It's actually an article by Brian Glenn Williams himself. And it dismisses the notion that there might be some relationship between Wahhabi sponsored terrorism and the Chechens, as we shall see. That is, shall we say, a premature analysis. Talking about his work in Afghanistan, these articles systematically demolish the misguided notion that the outgunned, Sovietized, Sufi mystic Chechen rebels defending their mountain homeland from the mighty Russian Federation had somehow developed a foreign policy which bizarrely led them to become the evil henchmen of the Saudi Arabian Wahhabi fundamentalist terrorist Osama bin Laden and his Pashtun tribal allies in Afghanistan. I myself personally traveled to Afghanistan in 2003 and interviewed numerous Taliban prisoners of war. And he then goes on to say that none of them had ever heard of Chechens in the jihadist movement. As we will see, there is some very firm evidence that, in fact, there are some elements of Western intelligence, whether active duty or, quote, X, unquote, or working for one of the off-the-shelf Safari Club networks, remains to be seen. But the chief of Saudi intelligence, Prince Bandar, former Saudi ambassador to the U.S., and a man so close to the Bush family he is nicknamed Bandar Bush, in a conversation with President Putin of Russia, said basically that we, meaning the Saudis, control the Chechen terror groups. As I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, one of the very sad things about the Boston Marathon, there are a lot of sad things, but the Boston Marathon bombing appears once again to have been some blowback from elements that should have been brought to heel in the investigation of September 11th had it been properly investigated. And in particular, had the Operation Green Quest raids been properly adjudicated and investigated, then people like Grover Norquist and Karl Rove and others would have been brought to heel. The mosque at which the Charnaya brothers worshipped was founded by one of the Islamic terrorist proteges of the aforementioned Grover Norquist. USA Today, April 23rd, 2013, has an article by Oren, capital O, R as in Roger, E, N as in Nancy, Durrell, capital D, O, R as in Roger, E, L, L. It's titled, Mosque That Boston Suspects Attended Has Radical Ties. And it reads in part, the mosque attended by the two brothers accused in the Boston Marathon bombing has been associated with other terrorist suspects, has invited radical speakers to a sister mosque in Boston, and is affiliated with a Muslim group that critics say nurses grievances that can lead to extremism. Several people who attended the Islamic Society of Boston Mosque in Cambridge, Massachusetts, have been investigated for Islamic terrorism, including a conviction of the mosque's first president, Abdul Rahman Al-Amudi, in connection with an assassination plot against a Saudi prince. That man, A-B-D-U-L-R-A-H-M-A-N, last name, A-L-A-M-O-U-D-I. And skipping down in that USA Today article, we read of some of the terror-connected elements. Abdurrahman Al-Amudi, who signed the Articles of Incorporation as the Cambridge Mosque president, was sentenced to 23 years in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia in 2004 for his role as a facilitator in what federal prosecutors called a Libyan assassination plot against then Saudi Crown Prince Abdullah. Abdullah is now the Saudi king. Then talks about some other people at the mosque that were linked to terrorism. And we're going to conclude with a short excerpt from something we've talked about before. This is from MSNBC of October 23rd of 2003. Countdown with Keith Olbermann has an interview with John Loftus, whose work we have featured and many times over the years, and discussing Abdurrahman Al-Amudi, we find the following. But who was it that fixed the case? How could these guys operate for more than a decade immune from prosecution? And the answer is coming out in a very strange place. What Al-Amudi and Sami Al-Aryan have in common is a guy named Grover Norquist. He's the super lobbyist, Newt Gingrich's guy, the one the NRA calls on head of American taxpayers. He is the guy that was hired by Al-Amudi to head up the Islamic Institute, and he's the registered agent for Al-Amudi personally and for the Islamic Institute. Grover Norquist's best friend is Karl Rove, the White House chief of staff, and apparently Norquist was able to fix things. And that, again, from MSNBC, that's from Countdown with Keith Olbermann. This concludes Side 1. We're going to continue with this in Side 2. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 773, the Boston Marathon bombing, the third position, and the leaderless resistance strategy. This is being recorded on February 7th of the year 2014. My name is Dave Emery. Ciao.